Welcome, wombat folk and trolls, sorcerers and orcs, to Rated RPG, the fantasy role-playing podcast where we toss dice and have fun adventures with our friends. This is the Valley of Green Gold, episode 52. Previously in the Valley of Green Gold, the Whoop Whoop troop had entered the mysterious tower of the wizard Maddox. Dion, what is it that you guys are hoping to find there?
I think we're hoping to find answers from Maddox, but I couldn't tell you which answers those are right now.
Anybody else have any hunches for what you're there to find?
Well, we want to know what's going on with Schmoopy, and we want to know what's going on with all the zombies.
And we want to know what's going on with the earthquakes and the general weirdness on Crow Island.
And the crops that grow extra well.
And the mine.
Yeah.
So you're looking for answers, just generally speaking.
Yes. Yeah. And what happened to the bard? Yeah.
Exactly. The you don't know.
And am I ever going to find true happiness?
You guys have really been put through the ringer the last couple of sessions. First of all, Silbeth and Clubhead were both hit by big rocks that came flying out of the fog that obscures the top of the wizard's tower, knocking each of you into single-digit hit points. But the biggest problem was the cursed abyssal nickel that Silbeth has in her possession. Now, that curse makes her stop believing magic exists, and every time Silbeth saw or experienced magic in action, she would take on quite a bit of emotional charge, like more than usual, and that made Silbeth surge a lot. Brad, what were some of the results of these surges?
Well, I started levitating, and then I summoned a troll, and that made me emotional, so I turned into a potted plant. Mm-hmm. And when I came back to, I summoned a small fast troll and a bunch of corrupted flumps.
Yeah, it was a real flurry of activity. You guys did defeat the two trolls that got summoned, and the flumps escaped into the surrounding area. Thankfully, Wendell had kind of a stroke of genius. Aaron, how did he and the rest of the party at least partially mitigate Silbeth's destructive potential?
Well, Wendell seems to have a way with Silbeth for no good reason, because he's terrible at convincing anyone to do anything. But with Silbeth, it always works. And he convinced Silbeth that we are using something called Mungic. And it's not really related to magic, and it's totally different and safe.
Yeah, I think that was the result of a wonderful role that helped convince her. It worked!
It sort of works.
Yeah, it didn't work like 100%, but...
Also, by the way, that's not true about Wendell. Wendell is really good with women. Have you noticed every time it's like convincing a woman to do something? Like when we first got off the ship, like the woman who works for Alea Kaltan, he convinced her he was regular. Like as long as it's a woman, Wendell is the charmingest bastard in the campaign.
Well, he's cute and furry, and they can't resist him, you know? This is how it is.
Exactly. I was about to say, I'm pretty sure Wendell also has that effect on the real human fans of this show as well, so.
So now instead of taking like five levels of emotional charge, Silbeth only takes like one or two when she sees Mungic in action.
Right. And I think that's only because it's still... is unexplainable, so it's, I don't think she's 100% convinced that it's not magic.
Right.
Yeah, magic by another name is just as sweet.
Ooh, all right, somebody got bars today.
Plus she kind of forgets all that every time, so, you know.
Yeah.
And the real problem is when we need Silbeth to use Mungic to do, you know, to protect us or to attack someone, what's gonna happen?
Exactly. Well, eventually you guys made your way into the entrance of the tower, a large circular room with stairs winding up the walls to a landing. There was part of a broken chandelier on the floor, the rest of the chandelier still hanging from a chain from the ceiling, and then there were two doors at the top of this landing, a single door at ground level beneath those two double doors. Dion, do you remember what was behind the single door at ground level?
Didn't we enter... There was like a trapped room, right? With like poison or something in it?
Yeah, Emery, do you recall what was in there?
Yes, it was like molten metal that would fall on whoever opened the door.
That was the trap, but does anybody remember what was in there? What it was, that room? It was a janitor's closet. That's
what I was going to say. Yeah, I should have.
Yeah, there was like a broom and a mop and a shelf with rags on it. And then under the shelf, there was this hole in the wall. It was like 1 foot by 1 foot hole in the rock wall. And that led like into the wall a few feet. And then it turned steeply upward. But you guys didn't explore it because you actually had Wendell's zombie friend Croaky enter the janitor's closet. Aaron, what happened to him?
Croaky got a brand new helmet.
Yes. A crown for a king.
And also died again.
Yeah. A pot of molten iron perched above the door fell on Croaky's head. He's a tree frog folk. He's a Gripply. He used to be a fearsome pirate named Calicro Jack, but as a zombie, you know, he's not too tough, and the kettle and the hot metal was too much for him, and he died. Now, typically, when a zombie dies, it cannot be reanimated. But Wendell didn't know that was a Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition rule, and despite it not being possible, he cast Animate Dead again, and it worked anyway. So perhaps we'll find out why he could do that, why that worked for Wendell. But in the meantime, the molten metal has hardened on Croaky's head and body, granting him a +2 to his AC. It's still just 10 AC, but, you know, it's better than an 8.
Yeah.
Brad, when Silbeth entered the tower at first, she ran up the stairs and went through the double doors on the landing on the second floor. What did she find?
There was a long, curving hallway.
Yeah, a big ramp that led up.
Yeah.
And she entered that room, I remember, the ramp area, and then in the ceiling just above the doors, there was a hole there.
Yes.
Did you guys explore that hole or put anything in it or anything like that?
No, I think I was debating turning into like a spider or something and climbing into it.
I remembered you talked about maybe becoming a spider, but I think maybe, you know, being short on a wild shape and everything. I couldn't remember if you actually explored that or not. You guys took a short rest to recoup some hit points. You sent Croaky up the ramp after that, and the rocks tumbled down at Croaky, and he's not very dexterous, so he got hit by some rocks, but he survived it. As it stands right now, Wendell and Clubhead are down a few spell slots. Silbeth has pretty much all of her spell slots for obvious reasons. Clubhead is down 10 hit points. He's at 34 hit points, and Croaky has 12 left, but everybody else is full. After ascending this big ramp, you triggered the rune, the trap, and you were able to get up the big ramp. The corridor curves to the right and brings you around to the base of an enormous spiral staircase, which makes up the massive tower, kind of in its entirety. So there you stand at the base of this giant staircase. What do you guys do?
Are you saying that there's a wide open space, like to the top of the tower?
There's not. There's a stone, you know, cylindrical, solid stone support in the center, and then the staircase winds around it. So you could really only see what's directly in front of you leading up to the stairs until they curve out of sight. So maybe you've got like 10, 15 feet, 20 feet maybe in front of you before the staircase just disappears around the corner. So you're going to have to walk up these stairs. And they're big stairs. They're high. Each step is high enough that it makes for difficult terrain for specifically Wendell, because his legs are shorter.
Hey, Wendell, do you want to hop on my shoulders?
Yes, that would be excellent. That'll make things a lot easier. I will send Croaky up ahead and make sure everything is safe.
How wide are the stairs?
The stairs are 10 feet wide, so you could go 2 abreast.
There's no space between the middle column and the stairs, right? It's just like...
Correct.
Solid stone on either side.
And unfortunately, too, there's no windows or arrow slits or anything like that, so it's very dark. Those of you without dark vision, you're going to have to do something or you won't be able to see.
I feel like I lit a torch, if not, I'd like to light a torch now.
Okay, no problem. So Wendell is on Bunny's shoulders and Bunny is holding a torch and maybe your club seat in your other hand, I'm not sure.
Oh, we're double-fisted for sure.
All right, what is everybody else holding on to? What's everybody got ready?
I have my crossbow.
Stick and a shield.
Okay. What is Clubhead? He's got his poop stick?
Yeah, he's got his poop stick, sir.
I was about to say, wait, when did he get a poop stick? Like
a sewer stick.
Yeah, sewer stick.
Shillelagh.
Gosh. Yeah. And a shield, and that's what he's got.
Oh, yeah. All right, and Wendell, what is he? He has his hat, as always.
The gold skull, maybe?
Well, no, Wendell's got the Rod of the Undying kind of ready for action.
And then Croaky is in the lead. So it's Croaky followed by...
I got high dexterity, so I could probably dodge. I could go second, but Clubhead's got more defense. Clubhead, do you want to be second or third, brother?
I like being in the front, so yeah.
Hell yeah.
Who doesn't have dark vision?
Your boy. The only dude with zero magic.
Well, and Wendell doesn't have it, right?
Correct.
Yeah, no, he doesn't.
Oh, I assumed wombats could see in the dark, but I don't know shit about wombats.
Well, they use their nose. Actually, speaking of using your nose, can Wendell smell anything from coming from down the stairs, like up above?
Sure. Give me a perception check. In fact, everybody, go ahead and give me a perception check at the bottom of this staircase.
I got a 6.
I got a 22.
24.
6.
So, Clubhead and Wendell, you guys notice... There's an aroma in the air. Smells a little bit like... Oh, it's Croaky. It's burnt, rotted flesh. Yeah, that's what you smell.
Stank-ass Croaky.
Burnt, yeah. Rotted, crushed, revived flesh.
Yeah, we're downwind of him.
As for Silbeth and Clubhead, Silbeth, you notice up ahead a scorched area on the stone. This blast is at least... 10 or 15 feet wide or more, and there's cracks several inches wide blasted several inches deep into the stone. You can go ahead and give me an investigation check, and Clubhead, you notice that as well, that scorched area, so you can do an investigation check, but you also detect the smell of fresh air coming in through some of these cracks in the stones. And as you look at the cracks in the stones, you realize that these stones aren't fitted together particularly well. It's not like the rest of the tower that you've been in where everything is expertly crafted. This looks a little tiny bit sloppier.
I got an 18 on my investigation.
Okay.
I got an 11.
Okay. Silbeth, you're not sure what caused this, but you fear it could be some sort of mungic. Maybe a fireball or similar mungic spell. So... You would take a level of emotion,
yes,
on that.
Yes, indeed I do.
That might have been the one time you want to roll low on your investigation. I don't know.
All right, I'm up to 4.
Okay.
I got a 6.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
Do I see any holes like in the molten metal trap?
No, you do not.
Okay.
And you don't notice any evidence of traps being active or anything in this area as well. I'll be using your... passive perceptions for any sort of trap detection. I know Bunny has a 12, Wendell is a 13, Silbeth is a 15, and Clubhead is a 17, and Croaky is he's not perceptive passively or actively, really.
But he's got a lot of personality.
Yeah. You keep him around because he keeps spirits up.
This damaged stone, is this in the stairs or on the walls?
It's on the walls of the stairs and the ceiling, which is the stairs that are above you.
And it's just in this one area that we can see?
Yeah. As you proceed up the stairs, or as you will proceed up the stairs, you'll be walking through this spot, and it really does look like a 30-foot blast went off here.
Could I potentially, like, right before we get... around the corner where that blast is, can I use like my throw a thing to like maybe trigger a trap? Like any like loose gravel?
Sure, you could grab a handful of rocks and kind of chuck them ahead of you as you go with the hopes of triggering a trap. It could create some sound, and that's my other question. Are you being actively stealthy as a group?
Stealth is nice, but when we have a torch lit, there's yeah. really only so much we can do.
And Croaky is not stealthy.
Plus, Wendell always tries to ruin our stealth.
I'm not going to ruin anything, but Croaky, he just croaks. He can't help it. It's just who he is.
Maybe we should leave him behind.
No, he'll...
Hey, he's a part of the family, Silbeth.
That's right.
I just meant behind us on the stairs while we try to be quiet moving ahead.
Well, why put ourselves in danger if we're going to get blasted by a giant fireball? We can send Croaky ahead to trigger it.
There's so many things wrong with that, but all right.
He's our family. We should let him go ahead and die for us, right?
Yeah, for the team.
All right, everybody give me a stealth check, Croaky included.
A 15?
19.
Go ahead, Emery. Let's get it.
11.
A 5. Wendell got a 5.
Oh, you said you weren't going to ruin it.
Okay. All right. And Croaky, how is he doing on his stealth here?
Come on, Croaky.
Croaky got a 12.
Oh. Ooh. Wow.
Okay, let's go, Croak.
Croaky was probably just like muttering. And then, you know, maybe Wendell yelled at him to shut up or something. So you guys creep up these stone steps, and you're not sure how far distance-wise you've made it, but it feels like you've been walking up these stairs for quite a little while. The tower is high up in the sky. You couldn't tell from outside because the fog and the clouds that surround the tower obscure it. So you keep climbing up this tower, 100 feet maybe, or 50 feet, you're not really sure. Everybody give me another perception check.
So when we walked through those scorch marks, nothing happened?
Yeah, nothing happened.
Seems like it was already set off, you guys. We were worried about nothing.
Oof. Well, I rolled a 9. Everyone else, impressive.
Thank you.
22.
A 20.
22.
Excellent. You guys all beat your passive perception except for Bunny, so I'll use Bunny's passive. Here's what you all notice. Well, Bunny notices that, you catch the whiff of fresh air, and you notice a little bit of light coming in between some larger cracks in the stone. You notice the higher you ascend in this tower, it seems the worse the craftsmanship of the stonework is. Who got over 20? Well, everybody else got a 20 or up, didn't you?
Right. Yeah.
You all sense vibrations, like thumping drums or heavy, heavy footfalls. Very faint at first and only for about 10 seconds, and then it stops.
Does it sound like it's coming from above us or below us?
It sounded like it was, well, it wasn't much as much of a sound as it was a vibration in your feet. It seemed like it was coming from above, not below.
But you said it was like rhythmic?
It had the cadence of footsteps, or was it more?
It had the cadence of footsteps, not quite rhythmic like drums, not that tightly syncopated, but yes, like heavy, heavy footfalls.
We don't see any light ahead of us, right? It's just our torchlight?
Just your torchlight.
What do people think that was?
Probably another troll. Considering our luck so far.
Do you continue up the stairs?
Yes.
Maybe someone who's very stealthy should go take a peek.
I'm pretty stealthy.
I'm stealthy as well. Yeah.
I'm not very stealthy.
Neither am I. I can stay here with Croaky and have him massage my back.
Clubhead, you're durable as all heck, brother. If you want to go take a peek, I'm down.
Okay, I'll do that. Yeah, I will go up ahead, and when I'm out of Silbeth's line of sight, I'm going to wild shape into a little spider and sort of stealth up that way.
How many wild shapes do you have left?
I have 2. They come back on short rests.
Okay. So you turn into a very tiny spider, an insect, and you will climb the walls, because if you were to climb the stairs as a spider, it would take you forever.
Yeah.
So you climb the surfaces that make the most sense. You climb up and up and up. What is a spider's movement? It's got to be less than 20. Maybe you're one of those fast spiders.
Yeah. I turn into one of those Australian, like, huntsman spiders, the ones that run at you when you get close to them.
All right. You scurry up the wall. You scurry along. And eventually you see light coming from outside. But something else you notice, you feel the vibrations. And in fact, it almost shakes you off the wall. They're so heavy. They start really intense, and then they go for about 10 seconds again, and then they fade away and they stop. It sounded like something was closer to you, and then it went away from you. You notice this light kind of shining a little bit down the stairs, and you also notice that there is a fog that is present in the tower. The higher you go, the thicker this fog is.
Ah, we must be getting really high up. Yeah, it's whatever was obscuring the top from below. Okay. Well, I haven't reached any sort of door or new, like, level or anything. So I guess I'll keep going.
All right. You continue on up the stairs, and you see a bunch of dark stains on the steps. Deep brown with a hint of burgundy. and deep gouges in the stone of one wall as if it was struck by a large blade or scraped by a big piece of metal or stone.
Can I look around and see if I can spot if whatever blade caused this is maybe still around, like hidden in the wall or something like that?
Sure. You want to do an investigation check?
Not really, but I'll give it a shot. A 4.
Oh boy. Investigating as a spider, even though you have more eyes, is not very effective. You kind of crawl through this gouge and you don't really see anything that is helpful or useful. There's definitely no like big sword or anything lying around.
Okay.
But as you do make your way around and investigate this area, you do see a doorway up ahead.
Ooh, nice.
Now the stairs continue past the doorway, but as you scurry up the wall, you see that this arching stone doorway does not have a door on it. It is just wide open. And it's about 8 feet wide. It's a very large doorway. It looks like it's an add-on. It doesn't look like it was like originally part of the blueprint for this tower. Like something changed and a door was put there. And there's a stone walkway that leads out of the tower at that point. The fog, though, is definitely thicker there. You can see maybe 10 or 15 feet out of the tower.
Oh, interesting. So this doorway is on the exterior wall of the tower.
It is, and it's on the mountainside of the tower. So instead of leading to a balcony overlooking the field where you guys got hit by the rocks, this is on the backside of the tower. So there's this, the mountains there, the tower is kind of right up against the mountain, and it looks as though the mountain has been mined. There's a flat platform and a space where there's an opening out into the mountain.
Whoa, that's cool. Oh boy, I wish I could like telepathically communicate with my friends. If I could, what would I imagine they would be saying right now?
Rolls.
Would you shut that zombie up?
I hope Clubhead comes back soon.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I think I'll turn around and go back.
You scurry down the walls. Do you turn back into Clubhead or do you remain a spider?
I'll stay as a spider until the point where like I turned into the spider originally. Just in case there was any sort of like triggers on the ground that, you know, I avoided.
By the way, Clubhead, your passive perception remains the same as a spider, I believe, right?
Yeah, because I keep my mental stats and I keep my proficiencies, so.
Okay, yeah, it's just the physical stuff that changes with a wild shape. So with your passive perception, you were also looking for traps and things that could be dangerous on the stairs on the way up, and you didn't detect any with your passive. So you're able to get back down, you turn back into Clubhead, and there you are.
Oh, hey guys, I walked on my two little Clubhead feet all the way up, and I found a door that leads into the mountain.
Oh, wow.
Into the mountain? Oh, wow.
Yeah, crazy. And here's the thing, though, that wasn't even the top of the tower. It keeps going. But I thought maybe you guys might want to explore that little mountain hole.
Well, why would it go into the mountain?
That's a good question. We can add that to the list of questions we need answers to.
All right.
Let's go find out.
Did you see any traps?
I did not see any traps, and I was passively looking for them.
That's weird. Why wouldn't you be actively looking for them?
Well, it takes too long to do that. So I was starting to get nervous all by myself.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right.
I guess we head towards the mountain hall? Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. You guys head up the stairs in your marching order as you were, and you get to that point where, Clubhead, you saw the gouges in the wall.
Yes, I'll point that out to you guys.
I looked around for like a blade or something, but I couldn't find anything.
I want to try an investigation check just to see if I pick up anything he may have missed.
Sure.
No, what a 5.
Natural 20.
Nice.
Ooh.
Bunny, you investigate it. Put your fingers on it.
These are big ass dents. Wow. Okay.
There you go. That's Detective DePayne on the case. Wendell, as you're looking at it, you see just the tiniest smudge of yellow pigment. Looks like it rubbed off of something that scraped up against the wall and left a little bit of pigment there.
Bunny, lean me in closer. I need to see this pigment.
I gotcha. I pick him up and just put his head towards the smudge.
Ah, some sort of yellow smudge.
Do I see that?
Well, I'm sure he'll point it out to you.
Well, I also got a 22 investigation.
Okay, yes, you see that.
Silbeth, what do you think this is?
Was Tag Pub 7 yellow?
He was.
Does this seem like the same shade of yellow?
It does.
Yeah, you remember that mechanical contraption at the docks?
Yes.
Yeah, the four-armed robot dude, yeah.
It's the same color.
Oh, so perhaps one of those types of men came this way.
I was thinking when there was heavy footsteps that maybe it was the same thing.
Oh, right, of course. Clubhead, you might have a friend up here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's fascinating mechanical marvel.
Yes, completely mechanical, operated by science.
Yeah, four arms. Very, very powerful.
Yes.
Be a tough hombre to wrestle.
All right. Let's go explore beyond this door.
Let's do it.
Croaky, lead the way.
And he continues up the stairs, always eager to please his friend Wendell. You come to the large opening in the wall of the tower. It's a big arched doorway, about 8 feet wide, facing toward the mountain, and a thick fog hangs in the air, obscuring anything more than 15 feet away from you. A stone walkway, much like a bridge, leads out of the tower. There's a drop-off on either side. It's 10 feet wide, but the mountain is right there. It's only about 10 feet away from the backside of the tower. And where the mountain is a flat level platform. You can see the sky up above you. You get outside of the tower a little bit, you can look up and you can't really see much more than 15 feet, but you know the tower continues up because the stairs in the tower continue upward. And this flat area, this place that has been mined out of the mountain, extends out in front of you. You can see there's at least one pile of large rocks there, maybe 15 feet or so from the tower.
Well, I'm going to go cross the threshold and go in and see how deep it goes into the mountain.
You're not going alone, my friend.
Yeah.
So Clubhead, Bunny, Silbeth, Wendell's on Bunny's shoulder, so I'm assuming he's going to.
I was just about to ask, like, he's more than welcome to stay up there. Is the terrain normal? Wendell, do you want to get put down? Or are you good?
Yeah, the terrain here is normal.
Oh, yeah, I suppose I can, this has been nice, but I can walk.
I mean, it's up to you, man.
No, that's fine. I'll tag along at the end.
In the back?
Yeah.
All right, so is Croaky still leading the way?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. You guys walk out onto this flat area. You can see Clubhead specifically, because your old files are all mining related and you still retain some of the knowledge about mining. You can look at the stone and you can see, yeah, this somebody mined this out. This mountain used to be just a mountain and now there's this big flat area. You don't know how far it extends into the mountain. And you continue creeping forward closer to that area away from the tower. But as you get like 15 feet, 20 feet away from the tower, it's harder and harder to see where the tower is behind you. How far do you want to go?
And we're actually like going inside of the mountain in like a little tunnel in the mountain?
It's not really inside the mountain. It's on the side of the mountain with open air above you. So it's kind of just carved out and then the mountain has been sheared off where the wall of the mountain used to be. Something has excavated the mountain. Right there. And it's all flat.
So we're on a path on the side of the mountain?
Yeah, more or less. It's a large, wide, cleared out area. You can't tell how wide it is because you can only see 15 feet or so. But you do see these big piles, 10 feet wide, 10 feet high, piles of rock that look like maybe they were waste rock from blocks being carved or chipped away. But they are big piles. Would definitely provide cover to you guys if you needed that sort of thing.
These rocks that make up these piles, are they similarly sized to the ones that were thrown at us?
Yes, they are.
This could be the ammunition.
Everybody give me a perception check.
8.
Oh, I also got an 8 because I rolled a natural 1.
I also got an 8.
21.
Oh, let's go.
Wow.
All right. Give me a roll for Croaky there, Aaron.
A 6.
He noticed a bug crawling on him, and that's what he's been watching. Wendell, you are the only member of the Whoop Whoop troop who sees a flash of movement. Now, you're back at the back of the line. You're still relatively close to the tower, and you can't see very far ahead. In fact, you can't even see Clubhead anymore because he's farther than 15 feet away from you. But over to your left, you see a flash of movement, a flash of yellow and red. And as you turn your head and you try to focus your eyes on this thing in the fog, a hulking four-armed figure has emerged from cover behind some rocks. On its chest, in red paint, the marking of a crescent moon and star. This is a Tagpub 7, at least that's the make and model. But this one is different, Wendell. It has this large red emblem painted on its heavy armor chest plate, and it's covered in gray spheres that look like puffball mushrooms. Everybody roll initiative.
Natural 20.
What?
Natural 20.
Let's go! The boys are cooking!
I got a natural 19. It's almost as good.
The most natural, baby.
I also got a natural 19.
Damn.
Oh my god.
Whoa. What? Jeez.
My god, and two natural 20s with Wendell,
we're
too.
We're all over 20.
A 10 for the tag pub. So you guys all get to go before the tag pub. But unfortunately, the only one of you who is not surprised is Wendell. And by extension, Croaky. So what do you do, Wendell?
Does Wendell think that, I mean, it looks malevolent, right? It looks like it's probably about to try to get us.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so this is, what kind of parts is this thing made out of? Just, is it walking on legs or what is it?
Yes. It has two legs and four arms made mostly of wood and metal armor, heavy metal armor. You know that the tag pub down at the docks at one point used a cannon, but you don't see it's not holding a cannon. This one isn't. You notice that it's holding rocks, big rocks in each of its pairs of arms, so it has two rocks at the ready to throw.
And what size is it?
It is large.
Okay. I wonder if it would be able to carry those rocks as well if it was no longer large.
I don't know. We're about to find out, I think.
Let's find out, shall we? I will reduce the size.
Okay. It gets a saving throw, if I'm not mistaken.
What just happened? I only take one level, which puts me at a 5.
Okay, yeah. I think you would take a level. So yeah, you'd be at 5, so yeah, you'll make your roll right now.
I did roll a 7.
Okay, thankfully.
Yes.
Wendell, you cast Enlarge Reduce, choosing the latter, and that creature will need to make a Constitution saving throw because it is absolutely unwilling to be reduced. Constitution saving throw is something it has proficiency in. It got a natural 1.
Yes!
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Go.
With a plus 6, yeah. Rolling a natural 1. Wow. Amazing. Everybody kind of turns around to see what Wendell is uttering about, and you all see the Tag Pub 7 with the rocks in its hands, and it is reduced now. It was large, and now it is just a medium-sized creature. And yes, those rocks are too large.
Oh, it's
for
a small one. It's a small one.
Oh, it's weak. Okay, they had different models. Okay, kid version.
It drops the rocks.
Nice. Amazing.
Excellent work. Wendell gets inspiration.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Anything else for Wendell? We'll get to a Croaky here in a second. This thing is really only about 20 feet, 15 feet away from most of you. So you can make out its shape, but it's kind of on that edge of being visible.
Wendell's just going to stay back at the back of the group, and that's it for him.
So that's his action. This lasts for up to a minute. It is a concentration spell.
Yes.
All right. What do you want Croaky to do?
I want Croaky to give it to him.
All right. Just approach and violently attack melee style.
That's right.
Yes?
Yeah.
All right.
Go nuts.
Croaky goes nuts, charges toward this Tag Pub 7. Swinging his, did you give him a weapon or anything? Is he holding a weapon? Does he have anything?
Don't think so. Nope, he's just
flailing.
You can get a good headbutt with the molten.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's got a molten head now that he can use to bash people. He goes for a headbutt.
He He runs toward the Tag Pub 7 and, like, puts his head down like a battering ram and tries to slam in. He gets a critical hit!
Let's go! Look at that. You do it, Krogi.
Wow. He's basically become like a bighorn sheep now.
God. Yeah, he's basically like a bighorn sheep.
Seriously.
His bones are not holding together as well as they used to, so it's maybe a little squishy when he slams into him. But he gets 3-4 points of bludgeoning damage. Good job, Krogi. And you remember that the Tag Pub 7 down on the docks would speak, but this one is not saying anything. That's another thing you notice.
Does it also have glowing red eyes?
It does not, no.
Do we have to go with it if we want to live?
Probably not. So let's see, we got... Silbeth is surprised, yet Tag Pub 7, of course, is not surprised. And it sees that this zombie is in front of it, so it's going to use its arms to attack the zombie. Let's see what he does here with this. Now, where the Tag Pub 7 is standing is not terribly far from the edge, where it drops off down to the ground 100 feet or so. And so the Tag Pub knows this. And with a zombie right in front of it, it's going to use its athletics, but it is strength-based, and so it's going to have a bit of a minus on its strength check here. Its athletics roll is a 20. We'll reduce that by 3. That is a 17. So Krogi needs to make an athletics or a strength or a dexterity saving throw, and that needs to be a 17 or higher, which is going to be tough for him.
Ooh, Krogi got a 9. Or 10.
All right, Krogi with a 10 has lost the struggle against the Tag Pub. He is grappled, and that was the Tag Pub 7's first attack. With his second attack, he's going to try to throw Krogi off the cliff.
Oh, no.
Throw Krogi from the train.
So a strength or athletics check contested by the strength or dexterity of the other creature, which is Krogi. So the Tag Pub 7 got an 8. On his athletics check, making it totally possible that Krogi could resist being thrown off the cliff.
Oops, 6.
Oh, no.
The Tag Pub 7 lifts Krogi above his head. Even though he's smaller than he used to be, he's still very strong. And he throws the zombie off the cliff.
Krogi!
And into the mist and the abyss below, Krogi flies.
Can we have sad piano music playing while he plummets to his death? Yeah.
I was also wondering if there's an audio way that we could do like the video montage from The Walking Dead when a zombie dies. Like, we could just hear like various Krogi moments.
Shut up back there. You don't get any of this. You don't need food.
Okay, here, hold this. Hold this. Pound it.
Hold that for him. Krogi, kick him. Kick him right in the center. Good job, Krogi. You hit him in the scoot.
You hit him in the special scoot.
I don't think I've ever heard of a zombie kicking anyone.
Krogi's gonna try to embrace Skeleton with a helmet.
Like a mean hug?
Yeah, mean hug. Yep.
Krogi has the strangest fighting style for a zombie ever.
Uh-huh.
Well, no, because... I love Krogi.
But you love us more.
I love you guys more.
hold on now, because we don't know that he's dead.
Oh, that's true.
No, that's true. Yeah.
Let's see how much damage he takes on 10d6 and see, maybe he'll survive this. Who knows?
10d6?
Maybe he'll survive it.
He could take as little as 10 damage, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Yeah, you could totally.
I hope he's dead.
That's 23 damage.
Mm. Good night, sweet prince.
Which exceeds his total hit points.
Yeah.
So, somewhere at the bottom of this tower... There lies
one hell of a man.
Big John.
Big John.
Somebody play taps, please.
All right. Rest in peace, Croaky. Until we meet again. All right. So that's Tagpub 7's turn. And he didn't have to use any of his movement, so he's going to use his movement now to approach Wendell and get in melee range against the Wombat.
Oh, gosh, he's coming straight for me, huh?
Hey, can I... So obviously he was fairly close to it. How close is he now to the edge?
Tagpub 7 is about 10 feet away from the edge. And it is Bunny DuPain's turn, start of the second round.
And so here's my question. Am I at least 10 feet away from him?
At this point, yes,
hey,
you are.
Hey, fucking love deer. I'm going to use Storm the Ring specifically for this reason. If I move at least 10 feet, I'm one of a couple things that happen. I'm going to do this one. If I choose to push a target in my first round of combat, I may shove them an additional 10 feet away on my attempt. So if I shove him and that extra 10 feet, we can get him the fuck out of here immediately is my thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can use your dexterity on that roll, which is a pretty massive bonus for you against his strength, which is reduced.
Oh, wait, do I have shove as an option or what would I do for that?
It would be an acrobatics check for you.
Okay, here we go. Damn, I wish I had inspiration right now, but fucking, I got this. All right.
Can I give him my inspiration?
You sure can.
Take it.
This is for Croaky, you son of a bitch. And then I run up and just yow on him. 26!
Yes! Yes! Oh my God. All right. He braces himself as he sees you storming toward him, and he gets a 13. Yeah! Minus 3 for the lack of strength from the size. He gets a 10. You are able to grapple him under normal conditions, but with Storm the Ring, if you choose to push a target in your first round of combat in this way, you may shove them an additional 10 feet away on your shove attempt. So you've got him grappled. Now all you have to do is shove him over the edge.
And should I just do the arm whip?
Sure.
Get the fuck out of here and tell Croaky we'll see him in hell. I don't know why we're going to hell with Croaky, but... Excellent.
That is a 26.
Oh, yeah.
Let me see if he can resist a 26. I don't think he can. I don't think he can't even do it with...
He got it in him.
A natural one.
Yes!
Oh,
yes.
You see Bunny run over and what did you say again?
Tell Croaky we'll see him in hell.
And then you fling him by the arm. You arm whip him off the ledge and he goes flying, sailing through the air to whatever end he might meet down at the bottom.
So long, Gay Bowser.
All right. I'm going to whisper a damage roll because it's altogether possible he could be dead down there.
Can we judge by the number of loud noises and crashing that we hear how much damage he probably took?
Give me a... Well, it's not really a medicine check because he's not made of flesh and... Let's see. Just roll intelligence. Flat intelligence from Wendell.
16.
You think it's north of 20 points but south of 50.
Okay.
Based on the echoed slam you hear. All right. At this point, it is Clubhead's turn. Unless there's something else Bunny wants to do or has the movement left to do. You got a few feet of movement.
Okay, there's no way I could like peek over the edge and see him, right? If he's trying to come back up.
You can peek over the edge.
So would I just do a perception check to see if he's not mobile?
Yeah, but you're going to have disadvantage because of the fog.
9. I see nothing. Yeah, he's dead as hell, guys. I did it. Yeah.
Can't see him down there at all. You can barely see the ground. It's so obscured. All right. That's it for Bunny. Excellent work. You get inspiration.
You know what? I'm giving it right back to Wendell. Wendell, take the inspiration I just got for trading.
Teamwork makes the dream work. And we are to Clubhead. Wendell's on deck.
Whoa, what's going on, guys? I heard a lot of shouting and yelling and magic, maybe? But I'm just too slow to notice.
There aren't any other, like, there's no, as far as I know, there aren't any enemies, right? Like,
well, you should scan the fog, but man.
There's no other enemies, you're right. As you look around in the fog, yeah, you basically just, like, turned around, saw something moving, and then Wendell cast some magic, and then... Yeah, I guess you would have seen Croaky thrown off the edge by the small tag pub, and then Bunny go over and whip him off the ledge.
Oh, okay.
And maybe you saw Silbeth, you know, sort of twitch vaguely when I cast the spell.
All right. Well, I will, since I can't think of anything else to do, yes, I will just see if I can spot any other enemies up here. If there was one tag pub seven, maybe there's a second.
Okay, give me a perception check.
16, which is lower than my passive.
Okay, so you take a few seconds to scan the area for danger, and you use your movement to run back to where you suspect there could be a tunnel into the mountain, but you don't find one. And you realize that this is just a space where perhaps the tag pubs have been mining rock to build the tower from here upward. It's just a flat, mined-out plateau, maybe 40 by 30 feet. And as you make this realization, you feel vibrations in your feet. And you hear a thud, 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 thud. Heavy footsteps getting closer and closer, charging down the tower steps with violent intentions.
Guys, I hear something coming! It's big!
And that is where we will end this episode of The Valley of Green Gold. There you go, episode 52 of The Valley of Green Gold. Thank you very much for sharing the Rated RPG podcast wherever you happen to do that. Give it a great review, give it a great rating, because as we are discussing what might come after Valley of Green Gold, who knows when we're going to wrap this adventure up or if the guys will survive to the end, don't know. But when that ending comes, we hope to have a plan for what comes next, and we appreciate that new people are finding out about it every day, and that makes another adventure far more likely. So thank you for helping to make new fans of what we do. What We Do in the Shadowfell, our monthly Rated RPG live stream that happens in Barovia, a modified Curse of Strahd. That happens the last Tuesday of each month. Next one is happening Tuesday, March 26th at 7 p.m. Central Time U.S. We hope you can join us because those live streams are a blast. We have the live polls that happen. Nick, our DM, is amazing. We use Fantasy Grounds, which is different than Roll20. It's a little bit more graphically advanced, and Nick does some really cool stuff. So go to twitch.tv/gamesocietypimps on March 26th to check that out. You can support the Rated RPG live stream and podcast both in one place, patreon.com/ratedrpg. You can be like the wonderful folks who provide us rations and adventuring gear, folks like Plasto Joe, Nopey, and Bossa Nova Bill. We also want to thank our graphic design warlock and the Scartabelle of Mont Blanc, Tony Mayer, and our audio transmuter, editing wizard Elizabeth Parcells. Thank you for sharing your talents with the Rated RPG podcast. We appreciate it. And the live stream. Many thanks to the gorgeous Phoenix Brigade. Members in good standing include Jerry Veit and Mage. All hail the GPB. Now, I, for one, am looking forward to some more rolls on the table of potentially decent random stuff, and I'm betting that the guys are going to be a little more hesitant about grabbing at that loot, thanks to the Dukes, the Wizard Weary, Duke of Lux, and the Dukes Turtle and Crow, because, you know, that one time they had a cursed abyssal nickel. Construction is underway in Merchant Harbor at that vacant lot that a land called Tan owns. Word is, he's building a casino. I know what you're thinking. Casino? Why would you build a casino in Merchant Harbor? Doesn't seem like there's a lot of people. Well, there's a push to get more, you know, tourism to Crow Island. And since the Dragon Turtle attack, regulations have been out the window. So a casino just makes sense, especially for a land called Tan. But the project is not without issues. In an effort to hurry construction, Will Parker and Greywolf99 were dabbling with some spell scrolls. Transmute rock, move earth, stone shape. You know, nothing too crazy. But they failed their intelligence checks and the spells went sideways. Literally sideways. And as those jagged pillars of stone just slashed through there but smashed them to pieces, well, that's why you keep a bucket handy on job sites. For this reason, into the bucket of friends they go, and Will Parker, Greywolf99, will get you resurrected as soon as we can. On behalf of everyone around ye olde gaming table, thank you for enjoying the Rated RPG podcast.